they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning, as always, to all of our listeners, but in particular, the loyal WA Bluebaggers out there. On day 8,618 since the Mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft. As you begin your footy weekend in the best possible way right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. Presented today, as always, by the official Western Australian Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. You're hosted by, well, you were going to be hosted by Chairman of the WA Blues, John Allen, but he's not here yet. So this is Andy Jones with fellow panellists Melanie Hall, Chris Brownie, and our step-in here,
Gary Wright.
Thanks, Gary.
From the Collingwood Football Club.
We're going to turn his mic off very soon, aren't we, Gary? Yeah,
yeah. So firstly, good morning to you, Chris. Mate, what have we got on the program today?
Andy, today we will be reviewing the upcoming games along with our very own expert panel tips. Our special interview today, and in honour of Ed Curnow's 150th game milestone, we will cross to the only other number 35 for the Blues to have achieved that milestone, the one and only Peter Doon, who will be joining us live. Our regular segment, The Shirt Front, which pulls no punches when, as always, we cross live to the Hyphen David Rees-Jones to review last week's games as well as preview this week's clash against the Roos. We look at who's putting their hand up for senior selection from the Northern Blues, as well as the upcoming WA Blues events details, Carlton Football Club memberships, any specials and a whole raft of other WA Blues and Carlton Football Club information. And if time permits, anything else footy related that we can squeeze into the hour. So as you pop your toast and pour your favourite brew, there is no better way to begin your footy weekend than right here on Breakfast with the Blues.
Thanks for that, Chris. A jam-packed program, as always, that we couldn't bring to the listeners without the support of our sponsors. So on that note, I will also say a very good morning for the first time today to Mel Hall. To briefly explain who helps us make it all happen, good morning, Mel.
Morning, Andy. Breakfast with the Blues is brought to you each week by the great supporters of the WA Blues. Major sponsors, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger and Master Picture Framers. And, of course, the home of the WA Blues, the Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
And, Mel, while you're on a roll, what's been going on of note this week in AFL news?
Oh, wow, I've got so much going on this week. But I'm actually going to start with Jack Stevens taking an indefinite break to manage mental health from St Kilda. Guys, this is just becoming more and more common. I've got a list here. We've got Buddy Franklin, Tom Boyd, Heath Grundy, Travis Cloak, Alex Fasolo, Jesse Hogan earlier this year from the Dockers. Is this becoming more and more prevalent in AFL? Is it because of the pressures of social media? It's been talked about this week on so many different shows. I've been, you know, everyone's listening.
Yep.
You know, what is going on out there? What's happening with these players?
Yeah, I definitely believe it's social media. If I go back to the good old days, you actually had to have a job to play football and you actually were mingled with people and you talked to people, whereas now they're in a bubble and they've got a lot of cash and they're just listening to people in social media either bag them or adore them. So yes, I definitely think it's that.
Guys are shutting down their Instagram accounts and like I was on the footy show, they were talking, yep, and it's so sad and tragic that these champions have to just,
yep,
cut the world off to actually be able to play the game.
Yeah, which I think is actually probably going to end up being a bigger problem because they're cutting themselves off from people.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on players these days, especially with the social media, as you just mentioned. And it's the pressure that they're putting on themselves. Like, I mean, you just have to look at Jack Silvani, for instance, and the pressure he's put on himself to follow in his dad's footsteps.
That's the name. Yeah.
And I'm also going to touch on that as well. Poor Jack. There's so much going around on social media.
Yep.
And look, we're probably not helping, but everyone's saying he should change clubs.
Yeah, he should be traded.
He should.
Yeah, get that weight of expectation off his shoulders and all that.
What do you guys think about that?
No, I don't think so. He's pick number 59, and I think he's developing quite well. I think
me too.
Fine.
Yeah.
He's only, what is he? He's 21?
Yeah.
Nah.
What else you got for us, Mel?
Oh, Jeremy Cameron. He's eyeing off an eight goal game against the Saints.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you guys think? Can he get across the line?
Yeah. I'll be honest. I mean, you shouldn't put expectations on yourself like that. Just go out and do the best you can.
Mm.
he probably won't kick a goal.
And St Kilda captain, Jeremy Geary's out.
Jeremy Geary, geez, if anyone saw that vision on the TV, that was amazing.
That fasciotomy was hectic, eh?
Yeah, he got a really bad corky, ended up compartment disease. They had to actually open up his thigh and leave the open wound for a week because they were worried about the muscle expanding, and it's horrific.
Yeah, it's amazing to think what he's been through, and then, yeah, to get back on the horse and get back into training, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I actually seen him on the news. I think it was Thursday. He was back on the bike.
Yeah, good on him.
Which is amazing. And we bag footballers and we think they're soft, but no.
Nah, no way. What they put their bodies through, yep. Week to week.
Yep.
It's insane. All right. So is there any more news you got for us there?
I'm also just going to touch on, we are, you know, one of the, what they call a straggling team at the moment, but Melbourne, North and Sydney have all swung the axe this week, and the Demons have admitted forward Sam Weidman for Saturday's clash with the Hawks.
Mm.
You've also got the Ds who are without the skipper Jack Viney. Everyone's swinging the axe. I think we just need to hold our side, and I mean, injuries are not helping us at all, but...
Stability is a key, but if you're not performing, you need to actually reward those people that are pushing up from the lower levels, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to actually... This is really difficult for me, and I promised myself I was not going to get emotional, but the passing of legendary footy commentator Mike Williamson...
Jezaleko, you beauty!
You got that here. Someone's put it in the... just hang on for a sec. Here we go.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jezaleko, you beauty!
Okay, and this is... I said I was not going to get emotional, but this is... It's so tragic. A legend. stop it, Andy. a champion, and I all... You know, he will live on in the hearts of footy fans forever.
I'll probably give my age away here, but I can actually remember watching him and Mary Hardy do the Penthouse Club from Melbourne, so I'm showing my age. I was actually at that game when Jezalenko took that mark, 1970 grand final, probably the best ever.
I think all of us, it just will resonate with us forever.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, moving along, we'll do some AFL upcoming game review predictions. So we got the Giants versus the Saints this afternoon at Manuka Oval in Canberra. I'll go around the table to get the tips. What do you reckon, Chris?
I think the Giants. The Saints got a few too many out, and the Giants got too much to lose.
Giants for me too, guys.
Yeah, Giants for me. So the Demons versus the Hawks this afternoon at the G as well. So I've gone the Hawks.
This one for me, after last week... Backing Hawks, I don't want them to win.
Yeah, fair enough as well.
Okay, free kick Hawthorn.
So the Lions versus the Swans this afternoon at the Gabba?
I'm actually going to go the Lions at home. I think they're travelling quite well.
I'm going Swannies.
Yeah, I'm going the Lions. I think they're looking pretty good. The Doggies versus Tigers this evening at Marvel. I'm going the Tigers.
Tigers for me too.
Yeah, Tigers be too good.
All around the board. So we've got the Eagles versus the Suns this evening at Optus Stadium. Chris?
I think the Eagles will be too good at home. Suns aren't travelling that good at the minute.
They are, but I don't think the Eagles are either.
No, I know, but I just think because it's here.
Just because it's here?
Because it's here.
Yep.
Yeah, the home crowd factor.
They can't afford to drop this one.
Nah, you wouldn't think so.
Be good, though, if they did.
I'm going the Eagles on that one. So, tomorrow afternoon at Marvel, our beloved Blues versus the Roos.
Because of it, today's May the 4th.
Yep.
May the 4th be with you, Blues.
Baggers all the way. We need this one, boys.
Blues for me. We got the Cats versus the Bombers tomorrow afternoon at the G.
Jeez, I think this will be a cracker. Bombers are playing. Look good last week, even though I hate them.
me
I'll
too.
I'll go the Cats.
I'm going the Cats as well.
Meow. Cats for me. So what about the Crows versus the Dockers at Adelaide Oval?
Geez, the Dockers are playing some good footy.
Aren't they?
But because it's in Adelaide, I'll go the Crows.
I did tip Adelaide, but I would really like the Dockers to get across the line with this one.
Me too. I feel the same way. I have gone Crows, but I'd like to see the Dockers get the job done.
Yep. Wouldn't we all because of the trade deal?
Yes, absolutely. The more games Adelaide lose, the better for us.
Well, on that note, they're currently number 4 pick, and we are still sitting at number 10.
I see, yeah. But, Chris, we got Liam Stocker.
That we do, yes. And you can't judge this until we actually see how the boy goes.
Exactly right. So, Chris, you got the injury updates?
Yep, Andy. Well, last week, I might have jinxed this last week when I said our injury list was getting smaller as we received 4 new injuries out of last week's game. Matthew Cruiser received a cork to his hamstring, which caused him to change his running mechanics, and he got a bit of a muscle overload to his abductor region and inside the hammy, which we'll see him miss this week and maybe next. Cade Simpson sat out the second half of last week's game due to a hamstring strain, which will put him out of action for the next 3 weeks. Nick Newman left the ground early in the last quarter with a jarred knee after some heavy contact. It was found after scans that he has a low-level damage to his patella tendon, which could see him miss the next 3 to 4 weeks. Mitch McGovern developed some tightness in his right hamstring post-game last week, and it hasn't settled well enough to be chosen, likely to miss between 1 to 2 weeks. Tom DeConning is still 3 to 5 weeks away as he recovers from his knee injury. Kim LeBoyce is also a further 1 to 2 weeks from resuming from his hamstring injury. And, of course, we still have Sam Doherty and Jared Pickett indefinite with their knee injuries. So I think I might have jinxed it last week.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so Tom DeConning, he's actually listed as indefinite.
Yeah, he's still struggling with that. He had the PCL, I think, and he's still struggling to come up from that. So they did say it could be about 6 weeks, but who knows? We have to wait and see on that one.
Oh, I see. So, Mel, you've got some Blues news milestones and updates.
It's a big week for the Blues this week.
Oh, you're not wrong.
We finally cracked the 60,000 in our memberships. Go, you Mighty Bagger supporters out there. I am so pumped. When we spoke to Kane last week, we were only, I think it was 60 to 70 away.
Yeah, he didn't want to give it away, but he did say that they'd taken the tally down.
Media was down, but we finally did it this week, and it's gone public. I was going to mention the Stocker debut, but Chris has already stole my thunder there. A bit of random history. 50 years ago today, Brucey Doyle.
Legend.
The flying doorman.
Made his debut for Carlton. 4 flags in tow, 72, 79, 81 and 82. Best and fairest in 74, 77, 80 and 84. Norm Smith medalist in 1981 and All-Australian in 79 and 84. So, good on
absolutely
you, Brucey.
Legend. I'd say it again.
Also, how can we miss? We've got Ed's 150. The only other number 35 to achieve this success is the great Peter Dean, who will be joining us very shortly. Now, Ed's 50, he's making it a family affair, the Kernos. They've all made the trip to Icon Park.
Got his heart in the right spot, eh?
The whole family have. And the biggest thing that he's talking about is, yes, it's a personal achievement. This is Ed talking in the media this week, but he just wants and he hopes his brother runs out alongside him. He said, Charlie, hopefully. he's been mucking around with his knee. I'm just quoting Ed here. He's had enough and he just wants him to run out alongside him for his 150th. And that just shows the passion between these boys and the family. They're also launching their new show, Bloodlines, which also drops this week, which is a Kerno documentary, which is Ed and Charlie retracing their family roots. Yep. So, guys, this is I love it. Yep. I love the both of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just the passion with the family is great. Yep. So watching everyone run out, like watching the whole family there, every training session this week, he's had at least 10 to 12 family members supporting him. So,
Bolts did say in his press conference yesterday that Charlie will definitely play.
Ah, fantastic.
Woo! There we go. Also, Greg Williams is back at the club.
Yes, you beauty.
Paddy Dow and Patrick Chris have actually reached out to him and personally and directly and asked Greg to come and coach them independently. So he's down at the club. He's back there. It's so good to see him back out there with the boys.
He's an absolute champion of the game. Great teacher. He was actually helping Essendon, which I hated.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
It was great to see him back at Carlton where he should be.
Yeah, he's quite the man, Diesel.
One other thing, I will just drop in there, that 13 out of our 22 players this week are under the age of 22.
Yeah, that's guys, very young team tomorrow.
But you know what? It's a very exciting team we have.
Yeah, exciting times ahead. Stick fat, Blue Boys.
Absolutely.
And I will also say, at this time last year, Carlton had conceded 100 points on each of its first four games. So we're doing better. We are improving. We just have to keep forging forward.
Well, we've had stability in the back line. However, at the minute, we've lost two keys for this week. But let's hope our game plan and the guys can come in and just do the job.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to do a review of the Blues versus Hawks game, as if we need to really hash over that, but we will. Oh, we've actually got 1 minute until we go to a break. So we'll talk about the sponsors, maybe. The WA Blues are sponsored by Hyundai WA. They're the major sponsor. The platinum sponsors are Tech Tiger for your professional web design, digital marketing and Google optimization needs. Allmark for your industrial engraving and merchandise products. Master Picture Framers for all your custom framing needs. And of course, the Empire, which is at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane next to Crown. It's the premier venue for watching the live watching the game live, and is also the home of the WA Blues.
Well done.
And on that note, let's mention our event last week.
Oh, wasn't that amazing?
Oh, we had over 150 people at the Empire. It was an amazing family day. We had handball activities for the kids. We had raffles going crazy. We just had the atmosphere.
When we scored, it was amazing.
The roar. Wow. I've even got goosebumps right now. just feeling it.
And the giant Jenga for the kids, as well as the magic sticks, as you said, the handball competition. And just to have so many people and the families there was just amazing.
And the Blues.
The only thing that went wrong, Mel,
was the umpires.
Result. No, the result. The result. So.
All right, thanks, folks. We're going to go to an ad break. You'll hear from our sponsors.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA, be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership. carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, and we hope you're enjoying the program so far with myself, Andy Jones, and fellow panellists Mel, Chris, and
Gary.
Thanks, Gary. So at this time, and in honour of a man who always gives his all for the Blues, and tomorrow plays his 150th game, Ed Curno, we cross live to the one and only Blue who has achieved this feat wearing the number 35. 248 games, 1987 and 1995 Premiership Champion of the Carlton Football Club, the General Peter Dean. Peter, good morning and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues, mate.
We've lost him. Oh. He's out in the back block somewhere. I'll try and get him back.
Okay.
Thanks, Eves.
Well, while we're waiting for Peter, maybe we can go on to the actual Northern Blues report, if you like.
Yeah, sounds good. Go for it.
Okay. After winning the first two games of the season, the Northern Blues came crashing back to earth in a game that they will quickly want to rebound from. They were outrun by Werribee over the course of the four quarters on the way to a 58-point defeat at Icon Park last Saturday. It was a lacklustre performance from the Blues. However, Liam Stocker was one of the shining lights, providing run and rebound across half-back and pushing through the midfield to finish the day with 19 disposals. Matthew Kennedy fought hard with another strong performance in the midfield, amassing a team-high 24 disposals, 12 contested, 7 tackles and 4 inside 50s. Tom Williamson continued to provide run and dash off the half-back flank on his way to collecting 14 disposals. There was not a lot to like about the performance, but the best for the Blues were Stocker, again, promoted this week for his first senior game. Anderson, Wilson, Williamson, promoted this week for his first senior game of the year. Hasn't played senior football in over 600 days. Keppel and McCready. A very disappointing display by the Blues, but they have a chance to atone for that tomorrow when they play North Melbourne at Icon Park, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Very good, Chris. That's an unfortunate loss to the Northern Blues there, mate.
Yeah, they were. Look, they weren't in the hunt from the start. I actually watched it. It was live on Blues YouTube. Very, very ordinary game. There was not a lot of spark, not a lot of anything. So, yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Sounds like we've got Peter Dean back.
You there, Pete?
Not yet.
Right, okay. I'm going to go to a review of the...
Our actual...
Oh, Peter's back.
We got Peter. Thanks a lot, Gary, for getting that happen. At this time, and in honour of a man who always gives his all for the Blues, and tomorrow plays his 150th game in Ed Curno, we cross live to the only Blue to have achieved this feat wearing the number 35. 248 games, 1987 and 1995 Premiership Champion of the Carlton Football Club, the General Peter Dean. Peter, good morning and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues, mate.
Good morning, lady and gents. How are you?
Very well, mate.
Great, thanks, Peter.
Going good. Now, Ed Curno tomorrow joins you as the only old dark navy blue, number 35, to have played 150 games. Different players, you were an outstanding intercept and rebound halfback flanker, and Ed has played predominantly as an elite gut-running midfielder. However, both undeniably dedicated to the fitness and the team. How do you see Ed as a player, from your own experience? Just what will it mean to him to reach the milestone for the famous Carlton Football Club?
As you said, Ed's a quality young man, obviously getting older now, but I first came across Ed when I had an involvement with the Vic Country under-18s team in the National Championships, I think, in about 2007. And, yeah, really good fella, very keen, very dedicated, very professional even back as a 17, 18-year-old. And I've caught up with Ed a few times over the years, and, yeah, just a really good fella, and keep an eye on him because I suppose he's wearing my old number and representing it very well and representing the club very well. So, yeah, it's great to see because he bounced around a little bit and he had to go backwards.
Yeah, I think he spent a bit of time on Hawthorn's list, didn't he?
That's correct, at Box Hill, and he spent a bit of time at Adelaide, from memory, and, he's just settled in. He's just probably one of the first picked at Carlton now, I would say, and probably for the last 5 or 6 years. So to get 150 games with a late start has been a terrific effort by him.
Absolute champion. I'm going to throw you over to the panel for a few questions. So, Mel, take it away.
Morning, Peter. It's Mel here. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mel. How are you?
Good, good, good. Mate, you were dubbed the General due to what was perceived at the time as your old-school methods as a defender of moving forward and never retreating, which was a style that has started to become more common against defenders in the modern era. Who in AFL or Carlton's playing list today would be a player that you might think fits this bill? Simo, maybe?
Yeah, I'll have to be honest. I don't don't watch a lot of footy at the moment, but I'm starting to. I would hope that like Jacob Wiedering, if he plays up the ground a little bit more, he would take over that. There's been a few over the years. I think more the name of the general came about by the people in the Carlton Social Club at home games. Nice to be, and still do. I never used to talk as a kid. I was very quiet and shy. When I got a chance to become one of the older fellows, I suppose, at the club, you find a direct players on the ground, and apparently I used to point, that sort of thing. And the group in the Carlton Social Club I used to have a drink with after the game, they nicknamed me the general because I was directing everyone. And, I think those other qualities might have come through at a little bit later stage. But, yeah, going back to players, I would hope everyone would become a bit of a general. And obviously after Steve Silvani was talking to me from behind at full back, and he was directing me. So just a combination of everyone talking. You've got people who talk on the ground, it's like having an extra player.
Yeah, that leadership's super important. So it was the social club that came up with the general as the nickname?
Yeah, there's a group of people in the social club that I used to knock around with after games. But Tony DeBolfo took it up as well, journalist. And yeah, it's sort of like a little bit of everyone loves the nickname, don't they?
Yep, yeah, absolutely. So when you first came out for the Bush, it was Deeney, wasn't it?
Dino.
My bad. In between, you were dubbed the helmet for your bowl haircut, weren't you?
Yeah, that was the initial one, yep. Spiro Mielis and David Glascott and Warren Jones, Mario Bortolotto, those sort of fellows took me under their wing, and yeah, I got nicknamed for the shape of my haircut.
The larrikins. So speaking of hair, did you ever target or get any joy from shirt fronting the pretty boy stylist types like Dermot Brereton?
Never really got Dermy. I did clip him apparently one day out at Waverley, and had him rolling around the ground. I did. Michael Roberts is a ripping fella. No one used to like Robbo because he was so good looking and on the nightclub. A few other fellows who Richard Osborne. Probably all the good-looking fellows, because I wasn't a good-looking bloke, and they used to have pretty good players as well.
Well, given that he's due on our show in the next 20 minutes, did you ever target the hyphen and his mullet at training?
Reece and I had a bit of an altercation in 1984, I think, when we played the Swans at Princess Park, the old Princess Park, and I had Reece behind the goals at the social club end. Over the fence by the scruff of the collar, and I did notice that the cheer squad were joining in me, and he copped a couple of knuckles around the head. Then, as Reece is known to do, he gets a big adrenaline rush. He flipped me around and had me in the crowd over the fence not too long after that. And Reece, when Reece came to Carlton the next year, I think I was the first one to meet him as he was coming into the club from the car park, and always got along well with Reece. Ripping fella, you go to war with Reece. He's mad, and I was listening to the Could Have Beens on the way over, and they had Stan Magro on, and Stan was just saying about the white line fever, and Reece definitely had that. There's a few clips over the years of me trying to keep Reece away from umpires because he was arguing.
The turnstile operator at the tribunal, eh?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. It was just he's a very passionate man.
Chris Browning here, Peter. Thanks for your time this morning.
G'day, Chris.
G'day, mate. Long time no talk, actually.
Peter, it is.
Yes, the old days in the social club, I reminisce them too, but I'm now over in WA, so anyway.
Yep.
Peter, you started your career in 1984 as a centre-half forward, but within a year you had settled nicely into the back line. With your dash and athleticism, no doubt because of your accomplished basketball background, you never lost that love for a goal. As mentioned earlier, 41 goals from your 248 games. You often had the knack of finding the right time to run off your opponent and slotting through a major, especially at the Heatley stand-in of Princess Park. which the cheer squad and the Blues supporters loved whenever you did that. There must have been times you felt the roar and adulation from the crowd. Firstly, did you notice it? And if so, what was it like?
Yeah, love kicking a goal. I was lucky enough to start my senior career halfway through about 1984 when Carlton beat Sydney up in Sydney by, I think, 50 to 60 points. And I was going okay at that time, and sent half forward in the seconds, and I thought, oh, there's no chance I'm going to get a game now. But Mark McClure broke his thumb that week, and I got my start. So, yeah. You're right. I gradually went towards the back line, but everyone sort of got on me, under me in the opposition. Princess Park was the best ground to play at. It was just a little boutique ground, a great home ground advantage for us. Loved to kick a goal, didn't kick a lot, but, totally enjoyed it. And you always, crowd at Princess Park always carried you along a little bit. And I liken it to the crowd at the old Subiaco WA, and I would say the new stadium now would be a similar thing. But WA crowds always got behind Freo and West Coast, and it actually was an intimidating sound. So the intimidating sound from our home crowd was always good for the opposition as well.
Certainly was. Just one thing, Peter, how did you perform at the understand after the games on a Saturday?
I reckon it had closed before I got to Carlton, but when I was training for the old under-17 Teal Cup team in, I think, 1980, something like that, Shane O'Sullivan, who's still at the club, he took us in the back door and got us in there, and got to meet a few of the Carlton players, and they were in very fine form. So the understand became a coterie club. Yep. For the Carltonians, and spent a bit of time in there. But in its heyday, the understand was one of the best nightclubs in Melbourne.
Yeah, I do know that, Pete. I spent every Saturday night there with a few of your ex-teammates in David Glascott and Spiro and a few of the boys and Gags and that. It was fantastic.
I tacked on to the end of them, or they pulled me along with them after games, and I just sat back and watched them in action. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I could say. I'm not going to say one thing.
Yeah.
Peter, it's Andy here again, mate. You have settled right in on the border of New South Wales there in Albury, where you're still playing as captain coach at the ripe old age of 54, mind you. Your son is playing, your wife is involved in netball there. Mate, tell us a bit about what you're doing in the remote community, family life, and life in country Albury.
We're living in Albury, or a suburb just north of Albury called Tabletop, near the Edamoga pub.
Oh, yeah.
And we travel out to my in-law's place on the farm in Talangata Valley. The team we're involved with is called Bullio, B-U-L-L-I-O-H. And it's a farm-based community team, six teams in our league. We're halfway sitting outside the Wantagong Rural Fire Brigade shed, so I've got reception. and I'm on my way to Walwa to play Border Walwa, who are the Magpies. So that's a good one for we're the Bulldogs' colours. But, we're playing against the Magpies today.
Hope you beat the Maggies.
Yeah, I think we should. The league we're playing is struggling at the moment. There's only really senior teams, and there's only three reserve teams this year, so not a lot of kids teams, mainly under 12 comp, I think, now. My young fella and myself are playing in the reserves this year, and both of us haven't got games. So our coach played the last 5 years, and basketball injuries and different things are catching up on me, so I've got a bit of a crook ankle. But, totally loving it. It's just the old-fashioned, very, very basic ball setup, and people come from the farms. It's their day out on a Saturday. They meet each other. Old friends come along and catch up with each other, have a beer. And our club puts on a meal after the game and for $10. It's a three-course meal with pavlovas for sweets and things like that.
You beauty.
Sounds like I want to go to Albury.
Yeah, 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 let's go to Albury. Yeah. Sounds like sports in the blood and good desserts too.
Just one thing.
Yeah, the team we're playing today, my home club is 80 k's from home. So it's 160 k round trip of each Thursday and Saturday, or home games. And there's a team called Tumbarumba. They're about 150 k's away, so it's a 300 k round trip. So everyone's keen, but yeah, unfortunately, communities are getting smaller and numbers are getting smaller. So teams are struggling.
Good to see you're still involved, though, Pete. Just one thing, Peter. How did you feel on having the Carlton Father Son Academy named in your honour?
Oh, a very big honour. I don't take things getting named after me very lightly. Steve Slavani asked me if he'd do it, and I said, oh, they should name it after you, Soss. He said, no, Soss and I are along similar lines about having things named after me, just that it'd be good. So I said, yep, okay. And my young fella qualifies last year, Harry, and he'll be going down a few times this year to be involved as well.
Be good to have another Dino in the Blues colours, mate.
Yeah, he's sitting next to me listening, so having a laugh at some of the things that I've been saying. So. Yeah, yeah.
Well, General, we just about have to wrap it up there, but on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, not only for so generally giving up your time today, but for always representing the old dark navy blue jumper of the Carlton Football Club, as you do, that with that steely look of determination, gritting through that mouth guard. We thank you very much, Helmut. Go the Blues.
Thank you, Mel. Thank
Go you. Blues.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Deanie.
Thanks, guys. Any time. Hope you have a good day.
Legend. Thanks.
Cheers, mate.
Guys.
Oh, what a champion.
How good was that?
An 87 or 95 premiership player. It's not every day you get to talk to one of those.
No, that's true. I got to know. I have spent a lot of time with Dino. He's a lovely guy, down to earth. He is what you listened to just then. He'll talk to you, give you time. He'll do anything for you.
I think my favourite memory of him is the 95 grand final when he actually jumped up onto the railing of the premiership dice
and
fell off it. It was hilarious. It was just that moment of vulnerability where he was just so ecstatic and enjoying himself. It was amazing.
Yeah, great guy, as I said.
And I love the whole community thing that he's doing right now. I love that. I love, it just gives me warm and fuzzies.
He's always been from the bush, Dino, so he's gone back there. Give something back to them.
Yeah, as you said, a down-to-earth bloke.
Yep.
Awesome.
So that's it. That's it for this week. We'll take a break.
We just need to throw to an ad break.
We'll be back.
And I think our illustrious leader will join us.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks very much to Gary Wright, I've got to say, before I get going, for filling in for me after my one-hour power nap after an 11-hour shift. Turned into quite a nice little slumber.
Afternoon, and, Johnny.
Afternoon.
Afternoon, mate.
And well done to the panel, doing a great job on the show. Now, we do have the hyphen on the line, and I've literally just run into the studio a little bit defrazzled, obviously. So, Dave, good morning, and for the first time in a few weeks, welcome back. Not nervously looking at flight schedules. How you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm out at the airport again, actually, off to Hobart today. So down there with Big Nick and Robert Walls and Jimmy Buckley. So it could be an interesting night.
Have you picked them up yet? Are they in the vehicle with you, mate?
No. I'm at the airport now. We're all at the airport. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, no worries.
I just walked away a bit. I thought if for something controversial, Walls is still involved with the club. He might give me a clip over the years. So I've walked away from him.
Well, look, speaking of a clip over the years, as I was racing to the studio this morning, I was listening to the guys having a chat with Deanie, which was a great interview by the guys. And we had on the run sheet there, poking a bit of fun at his nickname, the Helmet, and just asked him if he targeted any pretty boys out there during his time playing or training that might not have been as normal, if you like, as him coming from the bush with the old bowl cut, and we talked about Dermy, and apparently your name came up in 1984. There was an incident there when they played against the Swans. Now, is it true that he had you by the collar over the fence in front of the cheer squad, and that you might have copped a couple of clips from some of the Carlton supporters there as well, mate?
Yeah, well, I think it was one of the last games too, and I think Deanie had a crack at Warwick Capa, and I'd run in and a bit of a wrestle sort of thing, and we end up over near the fence in the cheer squad. So I swung Deanie around at one stage, and I think I collected one of the cheer squad, and I gave him a bit of a mouthful at the same time. And a month or so later, I was playing with him. So it was a little bit awkward. There were a couple of blokes I'd apologise to when I first got down there, to be honest.
You would have just better have apologised to anywhere in the community you went to, I'd imagine. But anyway, look, I'm going to throw you over to Mel. She's got a question for you, mate. We'll get cracking on the serious stuff.
Morning, Hive. How you going today?
All good, Mel, yep.
Well, another close loss for the Blues last week, although this one had a different feel to it, giving some fairly significant mitigating circumstances with the loss of Simo Newman in the second half. On the bench, we were only down to one on the bench. Was the way we eventually fought back and nearly snatched it enough to ease the pain of such a difficult loss?
Yeah, no loss is easy. And the way we played that first half, as good a football as we've played, you know, for a very, very long time. So there are a lot
exciting.
Of positives there. Yeah, a lot of positives there. But the players, and especially the younger players, I think if you look at that third quarter, they seem to be rushing the ball when they should have just steadied a bit and taken their time, and hopefully they'll learn from that, because that's part and parcel of footy. You know, if you don't learn from your mistakes in what you're doing wrong, there are times, and teams are a bit different than when we played. If we team got a run on when we played, we'd start a blue. So
they can't do that anymore, unfortunately. But, look, they just need to hang on to the ball for a couple of minutes and just steady themselves and slide the pace of the game down. But, look, Hawthorn are a good team too. I think if we had it said before the match that we're going to get beaten by Hawthorn by 5 points down in Launceston, you'd nearly take that. But, anyway, it was one of those losses that we hopefully learned from.
Too true. Hyphen, it's Andy Jones here. How you doing, mate?
All good, mate, all good.
So my question is, Cruz reminds us of his importance every time he plays fit and well.
Yep.
Our succession plan in Tom DeConing is out with a knee injury, and our backup ruckman of Philip St. Lobie are not exactly setting the world on fire. I guess my question is, are we exposed in the ruck area, or has the re-emergence of Levi Casbolt made up for this perceived gap?
Yeah, look, we seem to do okay in the clearances, man. I think a lot of that comes down to Paddy Cripps, whether it's Phillips in there, or Lobby, or Cruiser, or whatever. But the one thing about Matty Cruiser is, once the ball comes down, he's like a ruck rover sort of thing. He's a bullocking type of player. He's a different beast, if you know what I mean. And he is vitally important for us. And I think, he's missed that much footy over the time that if we had have had, Matty Cruz keeping going, year in, year out, we'd be a much better team because of that. But unfortunately, he hasn't been there. It's up to, Phillips is in tomorrow, and Casbolt will be doing some ruck work too. So, it does take a little bit away from us, but, they've got to work with what strengths they've got.
Morning, David. Chris here.
Chris.
Very well, thank you. From our VFL team, Kennedy remains prolific and the exciting stocker continues to emerge as he plays his first game this week, along with Williamson again back this week and McCready and Kerr. Which player or players might be in danger of losing their spot in the team, and how would you like to see the team evolve now that we've seen some good, some bad and a bit of ugly in the early part of this season?
Yeah, look, I think we've spoken about this over the last couple of weeks. It's been really the first time in a long time where we've had some players coming through from beneath. Williamson back this week. He's a terrific user of the ball, and he's a pretty classy player, Tom Williamson, and he's going to be a massive benefit to us down the track. Young Stocker, apparently, he's a real nuggety type player. He gets a bit of the footy use as well. So, it's going to be great to see him out there and playing. But, obviously the guys know that when, Simo's back and Cruiser's back and a few of the others, then they're going to have to perform to stay on the team. And that puts the pressure on the guys in the team at the moment. So it's something we haven't had for quite a few years.
Yeah, true.
Mate, Johnny back here. We do have the Ruse tomorrow. Four significant outs. But I really like who's come in, and Stocker hopefully playing that Simo role, although he's, first game, can't expect him to be a general. But the way he's been going in the VFL definitely will be a Simo role there. Williamson in, probably a bit of a Newman replacement. Hopefully he comes back in. It's not too bad. Would you think we'd be expected to win for the supporters out there, or do we just want a really good, solid four-quarter performance no matter what goes on? We've had a lot of close losses. The wins are just... they're crucial for the guys at the moment out there watching the game. We've just hit 60,000 members. How important is it for a good performance today, but more importantly, just to get a win under our belt again?
Yeah. Look, the wins are important, but you look at North Melbourne too, and it's a massive game for them. They will strip the club bare if we get over them tomorrow. So they're going to come out, go and hunt. They're going to go 100 miles now. It's a very, very important game for them. So it's going to be a great contest. It really is going to be a great contest. And to be perfectly honest, we're in a bit better form than they are. So we should really be going into the game as favourites. I don't think we are on the.
No, we're not.
I haven't checked the prices yet.
No, we're not. Which
is surprising because we're playing as good as anyone at the moment. I mean, our first half last week, you take that up to anyone and you're going to be in front of them. So, we're slowly getting there, but, another win on the board tomorrow is going to be vital for the team.
I've actually been following the North and wanting them to get across the line in a few of their games.
Why? Just
because I love footy. But and I have seen they are kind of where we were at this time last year. Like, I feel like they're playing, they're battling through, and I've actually been tipping them occasionally. I feel like this game, if we don't win, I'm going to, like, we just honestly need to get this across the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we need to get this across the line.
Look, it's a vital game for both teams, because the Heat, whichever team gets beaten tomorrow, the Heat's going to get back on them. I mean, it'll be back on us if we get beaten.
And how do we do that, Dave? How do we where do we win it today? Is it in the midfield? Is it those clearances down to Big Harry?
The midfield and the forwards. You know, I mean, you look at McGovern and Harry McKay in the first half last week. McGovern's not going to be there this week, but Charlie Curnow's back. Hasn't had a great start to the year, Charlie. So hopefully he can bring some of his class back in. I think he'd be desperate to have a good game of footy, because he hasn't had one this year yet. So, if he's a good target up there and he's running around, that can help us. I think Harry's taken the most contested marks of any player in the competition so far this year. So he's in good form. So we just got to get it down to our big blokes quick and get that score on the board. Put the Heat on North Melbourne, because the Heat is right on them at the moment as much as it is us.
Now, we heard your phone going off, one of your four or five phones going off in the background there. It just reminded me, how's your dog going, mate? Haven't heard from your dog for a while now. It's been a few weeks since you've been at home.
Yeah, no, he got back. He's still in one piece. He was a bit smelly. We had to wash him when we got him back. But, he did well down at my mum's house, so had a good time down there.
Nice work. And before we go, is there anyone we got to give a whack this week? Umpires? I hear Diesel's back at the club.
Yeah, I might have to go down there and give him a whack. I don't know. No. We'll see how we go with that one. But all good luck.
Nice work.
I think if they're beaten tomorrow, there might be a few whacks next week.
Oh, excellent work. Mate, that's about time we got for today. Mate, thanks as always for giving up your time. Say g'day to Big Nick and the boys for us when you pick them up. And hopefully we can get one of those fellas on Breakfast with the Blues later in the year. Thanks as always again for always giving up your time. We really appreciate it. The supporters are loving it as always. And go Blues, my friend.
Thanks, Reesey.
Yeah, go Blues. Thanks.
Well, guys, I'll throw it over to you just for a second while I get myself together again.
Guys, I'm just going to talk about our next event, which is Mother's Day weekend. Guys, I'm going to throw a hint out to my family. Mother's Day, remember. Mother's Day.
And look, just thanks for bringing that up, reminding me of that one, Mel. We've got, you mentioned on the radio I listened to earlier before about the last event, over 150 people turning up. It wasn't just the atmosphere and the game close, it was what we're bringing to the party now for the supporters. So if you got your membership, you do get a little bit of extra support and a little bit of value, because we've really created that family for you down there again. And, we've got the face painter there. The face painter will be there again on the 11th. We've got over $1,000 worth of skincare products. We're having a free raffle with that one for the mothers only. So if you're a Blues mum and you come down to the Empire on the 11th for the game, you get a free ticket in the raffle, and we've got about half a dozen prizes that we're going to give out there. Amazing prizes, thanks to our friends at Priceline and one of our fellow panellists who's not here today, David Thomason. So thanks, DT, for donating that. We've also got some other stuff donated so that we can give a gift to every single mum that rocks up to the event, even before the raffle. As I said, the face painter, the giant Jenga, the giant pickup sticks, the food and drink specials. We also have, speaking of Charlie Curnow coming back into the side this week, we've got another custom framed, signed with certificate of authenticity jumper by the great Charlie Curnow. He already is great. We don't know where that's going to go and how great he's going to be, but These pieces by Master Picture Framers are sensational. At the club, they'd retail for about $750. We know at the pre-match functions, we fetch between $1,200 and a couple of grand from them. They're amazing. $5 a ticket, 3 for $10, registered raffles. You've got to be there at the event to be a chance to win it. We've also got a $100 voucher from Master Picture Framers and $50 voucher from the Empire as well. Barcard. So get down there, bring the family. I'd love to see you. At the moment, the forecast is 23 degrees and sunny for next Saturday, very importantly. So the garden will be open. We've got all that space there. The kids have a ball. We are your family here in WA at the Empire, the WA Blues. Bring them down. Bring mum. Let's have a ball. I'll throw it over to the panel.
Would you like me to get... I'd like to do an umpire whack. I don't normally do an umpire whack, but I'll be very quick.
Go for
it. My whack this week is to Elaney Gluftis, who umpired the Carlton game. If you remember, she paid a free kick to Samo, who was hit in the head in the last quarter just outside the 50-metre arc. She also reported James Cousins from Hawthorn, but she did not award a 50-metre penalty, and, of course, the kick dropped short. Miss Gluftis forgot the rules and should have awarded a free kick. Now, it sounds like sour grapes, but what did we lose by? Any comments?
5 points.
That's it.
I'm not even saying a thing. It's still too raw for me, guys. It's
the always brutal Ewok, Chris Brownie, down the May the 4th, be with you today there with the whack on the umpire. So well done, Chris. Thanks very much for that. And, guys, that is about all we have time for today. Thanks very much, panel, for, and again, especially Gary Wright, mate. You're an absolute legend. You are the only Collingwood blood man that we would say that about, but we love you for all the help you've been giving us over the last few weeks, and especially today while I was having my extra slumber. So thank you very much. And as always, guys, what do we say at the end of the show?
Go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go, you baggers.
Let's smash the Roos tomorrow. Go Blues.